Hi, my name is Esther Snickers and I'm the founder of CISO. CISO is a global platform where you can find a facilitator for a constellation in your area or online. In this podcast, At the Kitchen Table With, you get to know facilitators. They talk about their background and the wonderful work they do.
Yildiz, welcome.
Hello.
Well, we have contact through Zoom, and you are ringing from Australia.
Brisbane, Queensland, Brisbane. Australia. Yes, so yeah. The other side of the world to you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank for the online connection.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's come into its own, hasn't it? Yes.
Yes, that's great. Well, thank you very much, because it's in the evening for you. And so welcome. And I'm how do you say it in English? I have to translate now my Dutch in English. But welcome. And I'm curious about your story. So let's get started.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Okay. The first question that I ask all the facilitators is, when was the moment that you find out about constellations?
I'd probably take a step back from that, actually.
Okay.
I was a physics and chemistry teacher for a very long time. Okay. And then I had a big transformation very quickly after 15 years and became a Vedic astrologer. So I was looking at karmic cycles, you know, and I got really wrapped up in that. And I did that for a while. And then I realized that I didn't want to work with karmic cycles anymore, because that was just a map. It's an astrological map, which is good. But then I realized I wanted to help people make real change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me into counseling first, because I thought perhaps that was the way to do it. And then I went and did hypnotherapy, NLP, and I was really searching for a deeper way of working. I didn't find counseling work very well at all for me. It just wasn't at all deep enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I one day, as I was in Sydney, I was in a bookshop, and a little book seemed to jump out of the bookshelf at me, and it was Acknowledging What Is by Bert Hellinger. I'd never heard of him, didn't know anything about him. I picked up the book and read the first two pages. Of course, I had to buy the book, and went home and read it cover to cover very quickly, and was enthralled. I loved it. You know, it was all so new and it was all so wonderful. It felt like magic. You know, I thought, wow, I'd love to see this in action, but I didn't see how I could from where I was in Sydney at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of made a wish to say, yeah, I'd love to see this in action. And what happened then was I went about 3 years later, that was 2002. And 2005, I went to India on a backpacking trip for a month. And we traveled all around, and, you know, it was very nice, very tiring. And eventually we got to a particular place and we were tired. We went into an ashram, actually, and we just stayed the night, you know, wanting to rest. And then the next morning, walking through, a big sign in the center of the ashram saying, "Family Constellations, come and have a look."
Wow.
I thought, wow, yes.
This is the moment. Yeah.
How wonderful is this? So, of course, we went to have a look. And, of course, we loved it. And, of course, immediately after that, there was a three-day workshop. So we stayed and did that too, had my own constellation done and my partner as well. And then immediately after that, there was a 12-day training of family constellations.
In 12 India? Day.
Yeah, in India with Svagito Leibermeister. Right?
Nice.
And so just by chance, I thought, okay, we scrapped the rest of our holiday and we just did that, right? So that was my introduction to family constellations. The same year we went to Spain as well, and did another full training with Fugito, another 15 days, I think it was. And so that was it. That was already fully into constellation work. And really from that day onwards, 2005, February, I've been doing constellations constantly, really. And so that's what I do. I've been holding workshops. I do private sessions, and I also do training as well. I was doing it face-to-face, but since COVID, that's shifted because obviously that's not so easy anymore. I've set up a few face-to-face things and they've always cancelled last minute because of there's a sudden flare-up here in Australia. So now all of my training and all of my, a lot of my sessions are online. And that's going really, really well. So I'm very happy with that. Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess that was my introduction to constellation work. And it transformed everything for me, actually. So, yes, I love working in this energetic, simple but profound way, you know. And it's simple and yet it's so deep, right? And that's yeah. what's so wonderful
that's about it. That's the beauty of it. Yeah, the simpleness right. and
the depth. But goes right to the core very quickly. And you're already right in the middle of it within half an hour of starting, you know, 20 minutes, and you're already kind of working with something very deep. And it causes such profound shifts and changes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What changed constellation for you? What was the effect for you?
For me personally? A big effect, because I come from a very mixed family. There were lots of problems. Well, there are problems in my family. Lots of mixed race, mixed religions. Just complex, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of clashes of views and stuff going on. So, yes, it helped me a lot find myself within that, really. And find myself, become more anchored, find myself in a better place with my mother and father. I had been, like lots of us, the big one, you know. So kind of have to go down into my place and let things go more easily, let people look after themselves more easily, which is absolutely vital work if you're going to be a facilitator or a practitioner anyway. Because otherwise you're always rescuing everybody, the clients, everybody who comes around. And now I don't do that anymore. I guess the big profound effect was, before I did constellation work, I was often very sick, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably because I took on too much of everybody's energy. I felt responsible for everybody and I was always carrying a lot for everybody. Since constellation work, I don't get sick anymore, really. Wow. It's like a very clear boundaries, you know. My mm-hmm. personal values are very clear and I look at people with a lot of love and respect, but I don't need to carry them, you know, which is a different thing altogether, which keeps me strong and healthy, I guess.
And are you more focused on family constellation or business-wise or maybe health?
I don't. Look, you know, I know many people specialize or focus on one area, and I never have done that. I just say, look, come with a problem, whatever the problem is. Sometimes it's around wellness. I did a big constellation last week on a very serious cancer somebody had, a group constellation. Other times it's business or sabotage patterns, and other times it's relationships or dealing with blended family, or keep getting the same kind of partner over and over again. That's really common in constellations. Mental health issues as well, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, etc. So I've left myself open. It's hard. I find it hard with constellations to limit things, because an issue, a deep issue, can go into every area of your life, can't it? You know, lack of worthiness, for example, it goes into your relationships and your choices. It goes into your business. Yeah. It goes into your work, your health. You know. So I haven't specialize in that area. No, I've left it fairly open. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. And like you said, you do also constellations online because of the the development in the world. And can you
actually? I was doing constellations online since 2005. So I did it on Skype originally because Skype seemed to be the thing at the time, and then it swapped to Zoom. And then in 2020, when things happened with COVID, just became bigger. Now it's the majority of my business, whereas it used to be a smaller part of my business. Sorry to cut you off there.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And maybe I have to ask another question. How do you explain constellation? Because it's not easy to explain. I always say, come to a free webinar and discover it. But how do you explain the constellations?
Well, I used to hold monthly constellation workshops, and that was a great thing for people to come very cheaply. They can just sit in the group.
Just to experience.
Just to experience, just to observe. That's a great way of doing it. Now, since COVID and since I'm not holding those face-to-face workshops at the moment, it's more about providing, you know, I've created a meditation around constellations, which I'm sending out to people. I've got a few videos on constellations, which I talk about different things. I guess, you know, it's a terrible one to explain because I don't think there is a way of explaining it. The best way really is, as you know, Esther, for people to come in and just experience, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And when you try to explain it, it's hard to do it because you're a bit crazy or you're a bit of a witch lady or something. And that's not the case at all.
And when they experience the constellation, then you see that they understand it, but they also feel it. And that's the magic of constellation.
That's the magic of it, absolutely, yes. Yeah. And then they try and explain it to their friends and they can't explain it either, right? So it's purely experiential process, isn't it? And it has to be experienced to be understood and believed as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do have a problem trying to explain it. My meditation, I think, does a little bit, you know. It puts them into an experience which they can experience, which is helpful. I've written 3 books, actually, where I do cover constellations a lot. And I attempt to explain. But, again, I don't think it does it justice. You know, there's no way I don't think you can really explain it. Yeah.
Gilles, can they find your books on your website?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
And can you tell us?
I've got familyconstellations.com.au and also my latest website, rapidcoreshift.com. So my books are there. And if you look at my name, Yildiz Sethi, you'll find my books on Amazon, wherever. And I've also got ebooks on my website as well. So people can contact me if they want to have some help, because I've kind of used constellations as a way of how to say this. I started off telling you that I went from being a physics and chemistry teacher to a Vedic astrologer. So that tells you straight away, I am very interested in the spiritual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in why we're here and what's our purpose and how to make the most of our lives. And I've come to realize that this astrology map is really like a psychological map of all the areas that we need to untangle, you know, or release or whatever, if we're going to become free, which is what I believe we're meant to be eventually, you know, free of emotional, psychological stuff. So I guess, you know, when I do constellation work, what I'm doing, I hope, is helping a person unfree themselves so they can be more who they need to be, you know, whether it's spiritual or whether it's involved in career or whatever. So I see it as a spiritual tool, really, to help people come to themselves more fully in whichever way that happens to be. You know, there doesn't have to be my image at all. You know, they might have a very different approach to life. But I do believe each of us are here for a purpose. And if we can be free to do that purpose without feeling that we shouldn't do it or we're not good enough or, you know, putting blocks up in front of ourselves all the time, then that would be a great shame. But, you know, so I see it as very much part of my own spiritual journey and also facilitating that for others as well.
Yeah.
And I think most people who go into constellations, especially facilitators, have a strong spiritual aspect to it. Because I don't think you could really do it without that. You couldn't. I don't believe.
Well, you work with energy.
Some people do, but yeah, that's right. I don't know how to do it.
No. No. I think then you miss. You work with energy. You will work with the energy of the constellation. So you have to be open for that.
That's right. And you're also working with perceptions and you're also working with emotions, aren't you? Usually strong emotions. So, and all of that, it's hard to measure. It's hard to capture. You just got to feel your way through it with the energy of the constellation, isn't it? It's the same kind of,
What are the upcoming events that you have?
I have a training starting now for online constellations. I have an online training, which is 11 webinars, where webinar 9 is a 5-day experiential 9-4 online where we do constellation work. And all of the other webinars are the lead up to that, covering different aspects of constellations, blind love, orders of love, perpetrator victim energy, all that kind of stuff in separate webinars until you get to webinar 9 when we do the online experiential part where it's all constellation work in action and they're breaking out into groups working with each other as well. And in that, I teach how to work with groups and also how to work with private sessions in 4 different formats. One being online, which has become incredibly useful now, of course. That's what I'm doing. I've got one starting now. The experiential part is in November. I've also kind of created another way of working called EMI, Emotional Mind Integration, because I found that even though I love constellations, that when you're working with an issue, there's always a bit of the personal side of that issue left behind once you've done the systemic. And so I work with EMI as well, emotional mind integration, to work with the personal side and get, you know, what my website is called, Rapid Core Shifts from that, you know, a complete shift of many, many things, you know, whether it's trauma or, you know, a pattern or a relationship or whatever. So that's kind of
beautiful. And the first courses is more for facilitators, right?
The training I'm doing is to become a facilitator.
Okay. Yeah. What do the people need to
come on board?
Yeah.
You don't need anything really. Now, some people come who are already practitioners of some sort or coaches. Yes, that's fine. Other people come, though, who are brand new, right, who haven't done any other work. And that's fine for me too, actually.
Okay.
What's more important is their personality, whether they're open, whether they have a certain maturity. You know, it's like, I believe constellation work, particularly for training of practitioners, the person doing the training really needs to have a certain maturity about him or her. And that doesn't necessarily come with age, as you probably know. It's, you know, so you get some young people who are amazingly wise and you get some older people that are amazingly not wise, you know. So it's more about their personality. So the way I gauge people is if people want to come onto my training, they can book a time with me. I give a 10 to 15 minute slot where we have a a brief conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I know them, they get to know me, we can ask each other questions. Then if I believe they're suitable for what I'm offering, if they want it as well, I'll send them a link to join in if they want to, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And only then do they pay and come on board. So I'm actually really happy doing it this way, because it kind of, you know, some people realize it just in that little talk, oh, this is not for me at all, you know, yeah. Which is absolutely fine. They're not wasting their time or their money doing a course that's not appropriate, yeah, for them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really how I do it, yes.
Yeah. So you, but what do you prefer? Do you prefer to work live with the people, or do you prefer working online?
Look, if you'd asked me that in 2019, I would have said in person. Mm-hmm. Now, honestly, I don't mind. I really don't mind either way. You know, sitting here talking to you, you could be sitting in the same room as me, right? And, yeah, and we would not have be having a better conversation, I don't believe, than we are right now. And I know when I'm doing a constellation, either a group or a one-on-one constellation with somebody, you really feel the energy all the way through the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
I did a big group constellation, as I said, last Monday. And the amount of energy that everybody was feeling, all the tingling and all the whatever with, you know, different points of the constellation, you know, people at the end of it said they were amazed. They had no idea it would be that alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, when all this is over and when we can have groups back, I would still love to have groups, of course.
Yeah.
But online means they don't have to catch a plane here.
Yeah.
They don't have to, you know, worry about accommodation or you know,
yeah,
all those expensive things. And, yeah, at the end of the day, they just go into their kitchen and make dinner, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's positives and negatives. I mean, being in a group course, it's lovely to chat with people and make new friends, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
I think
quite happy, yeah.
Yeah, and I think in the future it will be a combination.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're social animals, aren't we? That's what constellation teaches us, right?
Yeah.
So I think if we can get back into groups, I think we'll be happy to do that. Yes, definitely.
One thing for me to work online and to make the tool at that time in 2018, yes, was to make it accessible, a constellation, because online you can investigate if it's something for you, and maybe it's a step up for being the constellation in person.
Yeah.
No, maybe.
I don't know. I think they give different qualities. You know, in a group situation, you're using the representatives to feel stuff, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the representatives pick up the energy and that kind of works. In a private session, the person is having to kind of feel their way through the whole thing, in a sense, with the guidance of the facilitator. Still works really well. I don't know, really.
Well, I work in groups also online with representatives.
Okay, yeah.
So in that case, yeah.
Well, I do too in group constellations, yeah, online as well. Yeah.
And if Someone is coming to you, do you advise a one-on-one constellation or a group constellation? What do you?
At the moment, I'm not doing groups generally. I used to do them once a month. I'm not doing them at the moment. So now I'm only available at this moment for individual constellations, one-on-one constellations. When things in Australia open up more, hopefully next year, I might be able to put back on, you know, onto my program, the monthly group constellations. So I'm happy to do that again. That's not a problem. Just at the moment, I'm only available for one-on-one constellations. Yeah.
And do you have participants from all over the world or specific Australia? Because now you work more online, maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
The working areas is.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last trainings I did last year, I had somebody from Iran, somebody from Russia, you know, somebody else from, New Zealand as well as Australia, right? So It's open, right? So it is open now, in a way that it wasn't so open before. They haven't had to buy an expensive plane ticket or accommodation. In this forthcoming one, I've already got one person from Russia. I've got somebody who's thinking about doing it from America. So yeah, it's all possible. I guess the biggest problem for online is the time zone, right?
Yes, right.
Because time zone is a real issue. I had a lady from Dubai who did it last time, who had to get up at her time, 3 o'clock in the morning, to start with us at 9 o'clock, you know?
So
that took a fair bit of commitment on her part, you know, which I admired in her. But that's probably the only problem, really.
Great. Okay, well, we are going to the end of the podcast. And is there a question that I forgot to ask?
I don't think so. I'd just like to thank you very much for the work you're doing, Esther.
Yeah.
And it's valuable work.
I have a question. If I ask your participants, how will they explain you as a facilitator? What kind of facilitator are you?
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's difficult. I did a constellation with you, so I can tell my experience.
Please do. It's so hard.
I will start.
Okay.
Yeah, what I remember was that we did it online, of course, because of the distance. And what I remember is that you were very kind in a soft way, but also, is firm a good word for it? So it was kind, but it was also a little bit firm, not a push, but firm. So I felt really, I felt really safe. But it was really, a little bit like a mother. You can, it's soft, it's cozy. You can be yourself. But there was also a little bit, sometimes a little bit
a challenge.
That's how I would explain
That's kind of how I would have explained myself, but that's my perception of me, and sometimes that can be totally wrong. I think I am structured, and I kind of have a way of working which I like to keep to. But within that, I like to keep a lot of freedom for the client, you know, and it's like a structure of safety as well. But within that, there's a lot of freedom for the client to explore whatever they need to explore. And I don't know how else to say it. I really do try to work phenomenologically with not assuming that I know what is the problem, because often it turns out to be something I would never have believed, you know, and you can shut off so many possibilities if you assume too much.
I think that's the challenge for a facilitator and to be a good facilitator. Be open and in
open and yet staying out of the way and let the constellation do the work.
Yes.
It is a real skill, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the important skill you have to establish, and you need trust.
Yes, trust.
But that's you get trust by doing it.
Yes, definitely you do. Yeah. You get trust by doing it and being humble enough to know when you got it wrong, and you know, look at yourself and sort that out, you know, and. Yeah, I mean, it's a constant growing process, isn't it? You know, as facilitators, we constantly grow as well.
Yeah.
I've had people who came to me in the early days and then came 10 years later, who say, oh, wow, you know, you're doing things so differently now. And I haven't even noticed that. But we gradually grow and we gradually change, don't we, as we...
Yes. And you see it with the constellation as well, because in the beginning it was more family constellation, and now, like you said, you also add things to it, and And, yeah. and you that's why you see the development in all the years. And
yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, I think.
Like a growing plant, isn't it? It's constantly unfolding, you know, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast, so people can find out by all the, well, the different approaches and yeah, beautiful. So we are having a Spotify list with some songs that is...
Oh, yes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so do you have a song so that we can put on the Spotify list?
Yes, you can. Just give me a moment. I have this one I use a lot in my workshops and trainings. It's called The Song for Peace, and it's by P.S. Karl, K-R-L, D, Strada. Mm-hmm. P.S. Karl, D, Strada. And it's a beautiful song, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
And before, I heard a little bit of the song, and it was beautiful. So, yeah. Well, thank you very much for this podcast.
And thank you for thinking of me. And good luck with your venture.
Yes, you too. And, well, I want to say have a nice day, but it's already evening. So have a nice day tomorrow.
That's right.
And a beautiful
evening. Have a nice day to you. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you want to book a constellation or if you want to participate in an event, go to the website www.ciso.com. And finally, if you are a facilitator and want to record a podcast with me, or you know a facilitator who is suitable for this podcast, please send a message to info@ciso.com. Have a nice day.